Well, Leanne, I'm glad you're here this morning. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to serve with these people that I'm surrounded by. We love you. We want to return the praise and the glory to you. Everything we do points to you. In the name of the risen Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, again, I'm super excited you're here today. I want to get some really unusual, freaky news to tell you. We were contacted by the attorney representing the family that sold us this building. And he told us that when we built this building, there is treasures of gold, bags of gold hidden in this property. Several bags of gold. So we asked the attorney, several bags of gold, what does that mean? He said, just to let you know, it's life-altering. This will alter your ministry, the bags of gold that are underneath your sanctuary right now. Yes, I said sanctuary. That's where they're located. No, so after a lot of emergency board meetings, we went over it. We said, where? Where's it going to be? So we hired a land surveyor to trust that his findings would help us find where this might be. And through a series of margin of error of minus or plus 5%, we determined that we know right where the gold is buried. He marked it, and I haven't seen it. It's marked with a purple X on a yellow post-it note behind one of your seats. So you need to turn around and look behind your seat. Now, I'm telling you now, look behind your seat. I'm not kidding. Look behind your seat. Is it you? Is it you? Anyone? What? Gregory found something. It's Shar. It's buried right underneath where Shar is. That's amazing. Well, it's amazing that she didn't find it. That's what I think. I think Gregory owes a majority of the portion of what's going to be found underneath that chair. So I guess you see the dilemma. She surrenders, and Gregory says thank you. Yeah. So do we dig it up? You know, I highly doubt OSHA's going to allow us to have a big hole in the floor during worship. So how much is it going to cost? So one of the reasons I like our leadership teams, they think outside the box. They said, hey, we'll contact NBC. There's a show called Treasure Hunters. Ever heard of that? They would do an episode, and they'd pay us to do the episode. Well, we're in a conversation right now. Isn't that crazy? I've never heard it so quiet in here. Well, before I go any further, I should really be clear. A couple of parts of that story are really not true. First of all, there is no lawyer. Second of all, we didn't contact NBC, but the true part of the story is that the gold is real. So let's unpack this dilemma a bit. It's always wise to filter our problems through our problems or our thoughts or our next actions through Scripture. A lot of times, because of cultural and historical differences, our 21st century problems aren't really truly apples to apples. But today is the same. Did you know that Jesus literally told a story about buried gold? Let's watch this from Matthew 25.
Jesus told the people this story. Once there was a rich man who was about to leave his home to go on a long journey. He called his three servants together and put them in charge of his property. He gave something to each servant according to their ability. To the first servant, he gave 5,000 gold coins. To the second, he gave 2,000 gold coins. And to the third, he gave 1,000 gold coins. Then he set off on his long journey. The servant who had been given 5,000 gold coins went at once and put the money to work, and it earned him another 5,000 gold coins. In the same way, the second servant, who had received 2,000 gold coins, earned another 2,000. But the third servant, who had only received 1,000 gold coins, went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the rich man came back and gathered them together to find out what they had done with his money while he was away. The first servant, who had received 5,000 gold coins, came in and said, "You gave me 5,000 gold coins, sir. Look, here are another 5,000 that I have earned." The rich man was very pleased and said, "Well done, you good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in managing small amounts, So now I will put you in charge of larger amounts. Come on in and share my happiness. Then the servant who had been given 2,000 gold coins came in and said, You gave me 2,000 gold coins, sir. Look, here are another 2,000 that I have earned. Well done, you good and faithful servant, said the rich man. You have been faithful in managing small amounts, so now I will put you in charge of larger amounts. Come on in and share my happiness. Then the servant who had received 1,000 gold coins came in and said, Sir, I know you are a hard man. You reap harvests where you did not plant, and you gather crops where you did not scatter seed. I was afraid, so I dug a hole and I hid your money in the ground. Look, here is what belongs to you. This made the rich man very angry, and he said, You bad and lazy servant, you knew, did you, that I reap harvests where I did not plant and gather crops where I did not scatter seed? Well then, you should have put my money in the bank, and I would have at least earned some interest on it. The rich man took the coins away from the third servant and gave them to the first servant, who had 10,000 coins, saying, Every person who has something, even more will be given to them, and they will have more than enough. But the person who has nothing, even the little that they have, will be taken away from them. Then he threw out the third servant, and he told him to go and find a new job.
See, wasn't that worth the wait? Nice English accent, cute little pictures. I love the third servant. The whole time he says, this is not going to end well, just to look at his face. Jesus doesn't mince words in this story. What I love about his teachings is that they have so many layers to them. I've heard many people use this parable to teach about financial stewardship with our personal and our business finances, invest wisely, and I hope you're doing that. But because of several phrases Jesus uses that we'll look at more closely today, I want to make a more significant insight to this. It seems to me that Jesus is referring to you and me. You are the gold. You have unique talents and gifts within you. Of all the inventions and all the creations on earth, you are God's favorite. I'm not being facetious. The scriptures tell us that the angels aren't even as valuable to God as humanity. Psalm 139 says that God knit you together in your mother's womb. Have you ever knit something? A lot of you are knitters. Think about knitting. It's so personal. Every single loop of yarn is touched by the Creator's focused hands. Every part of you has been uniquely designed by your Creator. You are gold. I want to be very crystal clear about my agenda today. With every ounce of whatever gift of communication I have, I want to convince you of your value to this church body, the body that we call Faith Community Church, and how your engagement within our church makes us so much stronger. So let's dig for gold. I have three observations from Jesus' parable. The first is that God wants you to discover your talents. Your talent, the gold within you, doesn't come from you. You may enhance it. You may develop it through hard work. But the giftings you have in music or math or communication or hospitality or intellect or spiritual awareness, the ability to think logically or creatively. You didn't choose who your parents were. The culture you were born into, you didn't choose that. I get so mad when people put our country down. Just do one mission trip. Just do one mission trip outside the confines of the United States, and you're going to see the leg up we've been given with the gifts and the blessings that God has entrusted us with. The word entrusted literally shows up in the parable. The rich man entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Herein lies the problem. Some of us, have 1 bag of talent, while others seem to overflow with talent. One of my working hypotheses is that when we compare some of us talents gold, because in the church there is so much room for comparison. And when we do that, almost always you feel insignificant. That's the side of the plane you land on. You are gold. And when you bury your uniqueness because you're afraid, I can't get on stage. I'm not good enough. I don't shine like other people do. I find that people often bury the gold within them when they compare themselves to other people. That's almost always how it happens. Especially when it doesn't seem as grand and large as others. But here's something to consider. Not every ministry is prominent, but every ministry is significant. This has been at the core of my ministries for the last 30 years. This is something that the pastors that I was affiliated with at that time said, that if there's no hierarchy of needs here. If the windows need to be cleaned, the windows need to be cleaned. If somebody needs to play the piano, somebody needs to play the piano. We're worshiping God. Do your part. There's no ministry that's insignificant. Let me say that again. There is no ministry. Anything that God calls you to do is insignificant. You remember many years ago, we had it. Maybe you didn't hear, but I used a door on stage, okay? And it illustrated this idea. The door was huge. It was prominent. It was a big, you know, just regular sized door. But it was seen by everyone in the congregation. And the point was, it would be worthless without these teeny tiny hinges. The hinges were not prominent, but I'm telling you what, they were vitally important. The door could not function without the hinges. I hear this a lot, and it warms my heart that when people come, they say, I came to Faith Community Church, and I just felt at home. I just felt like I was home. People are serving me coffee and snacks. Sometimes strudel bites, the best invention ever, right? Are they out there this morning? You're probably gone by now. But you feel at home. You feel like I'm going to Grandma and Grandpa's house. I feel comforted. I feel welcomed. I feel like I need to celebrate. I feel like there's attention to detail. The tech team that projects images and creates sound. The hospitality team meeting to ask questions. How can we create a welcoming atmosphere? That hospitality team is, you see it work in tenfold today. Wednesday night, this, planning for the future, realizing that we can reuse those ice cream social signs for next year. You just change it to Sunday, August blank. We'll do it again. We'll have another one. And don't have to buy any new signs. Hallelujah. That was a 2:30 in the morning idea that I had. Hallelujah. So please don't anybody throw those signs away, by the way. But there are so many people behind the scenes who create a clean, a safe, a warm, loving environment that you never see. When you walk in, you see that prepared. You see the tent up and all the tables there. You see the stage bestooned with beautiful people that are talented. You see communion prep that happens every second Sunday. The banner presentation and creation, part of Mary and Sue's glorious work. The plants that are watered. Carol Pearson does that, I think, every Tuesday. See, it's just stuff that you don't know that has to happen, and it does. So at this point, you may ask how I find my purpose. How do I find my talent? Well, my experience tells me that we typically find our gifts and talents through serving. I had no idea I had a gift of leadership until I was in my 20s. Someone asked me to lead a youth group in the church I was in. I laughed, but then I was guilted into it like churches are good at doing. I didn't take me long to be amazed at how God used me. It was shocking to me. It literally changed the trajectory of my life. I'm forever grateful that the church took a risk on me, and I took the risk of saying yes. A woman in our writing group is a professional counselor. She always has the coolest insights. And she said that she was put down as a child for being nosy. God eventually helped her to see that was how she was wired, and that was a good thing. It led her to being a counselor today. Isn't that interesting? Facing our fears, doubts, jealousy, inadequacies, pain is always worth the risk. This all leads to looking at the next two insights from Jesus together. God wants you to multiply your talent. Now, it was very evident in that story, wasn't it? If you notice the results of the three different people, the two who had extra talents both multiplied their gifts. Look at the response from the owner. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Do you see that? The man was faithful with a few things. He'll now be giving be given more responsibility. Many of you may be aware that God tells us that we are literally made in his image, right? Think about what that means. Scientists tell us that the universe is still expanding. Why? Because God loves multiplication. In Genesis, the first thing God told us to do as human beings was what? Multiply. Yep. Growth and multiplication are part of God's creation. Growth and multiplication are part of God's creation. Beginning of a rap song. God wants us to use and thus multiply the treasures and the talents that are given us. Just think of how amazing that concept is. God's all-powerful. He literally could have chosen to create observers. People just sitting in the stadium of life. He could have made it so that we just watch him do everything. Seriously. Oh, ooh, look at that. It's a giraffe. But God filled us with talents. He filled us with purpose. Why? To join him in his creation. We're literally invited by God to help expand the world, to multiply the gold within us. Every single ministry at any church has been started because someone used their gift and their passion to support the church and to help it grow. I challenge you to look around this place and realize that particular ministry would not exist if someone didn't step up and say, I can help. Every single thing that's done here is by somebody saying, that's not being done. I can do that. In fact, I can even find people to help me do that. Everything from serving coffee, greeting, leading in worship, leading a Bible study, quilting, prayer shawls, card sending, or hospital visitation, and prayer. All these ministries exist because someone said, yes, I'll use my talent. The first two points are the main points of the day. God wants you to discover and multiply the gold and talents that are within you. That's literally how God says we are created and formed as the body of Christ. Look at how he says it. From Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. If you walk away from here after you eat ice cream with that in your heart, then mission accomplished. But I have a third, kind of like a bonus point. Do you see the third person in the story who didn't multiply their gold? What did it say about the guy who buried their treasure? In other words, didn't use their talent? Well, whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Wow, that's intense. You notice the cartoon left that part out. Honestly, I want to ignore those verses. They sound so heavy. They sound so dramatic. And they are. It shows the heart of God. Just think about weeping and gnashing of teeth. When do you gnash your teeth? When you have serious regret. And that's the point. God wants you to live a life of no regrets. This parable is so much bigger than our small local church. It's about you living your life to the fullest. This is not a have to. This is a get to. When you live in the sweet spot about how you were made, it's a taste of heaven. Truly, truly a taste of heaven. That doesn't say God wants you to live a life of no mistakes, because you're all going to make them, even maybe some before you leave the building today. But he wants you to live a life of no regrets. When you find your purpose and your giftedness, and you can use it in many ways throughout your life, you come alive. You just do. To use your gift of listening, your gift of creativity, or your logical mathematical brain, or your gift of discernment, or your gift of compassion, here at faith or at home or at work, things just come to life. That's why this series is called Worth the Risk. It really is. Taking a risk is to try and help us as a church is so worth it. But when a person buries their gifts, they lose passion, they lose energy, and honestly, a will to live. I've heard people ask questions, what's the point to all this? And again, quite boldly from the same counselor, she said, when a person loses their purpose, they die. That might sound heavy, may sound overblown. It doesn't mean that you physically die. But we are created to participate in this world. And I found, again, like when I was in my 20s doing something I never thought I would do, I came alive. Why? Because I was called, I was working in what God had created me to be. And in that, there was joy. And in that, there was I recognized purpose. And in that, I realized I was participating in life, in God's kingdom. And one of the great places to start here is to start that process is at church, let's face it. You can go to your church world and say, let's talk about our purpose and how we're going to fulfill our purpose. Well, you might get there eventually, but here we can cut through the preliminary talk and say, God created me to be a certain way, and I'm still figuring out what it is. And that's okay. God's will be done on earth. The question is, will you join in helping him? If you say no to the promptings in your heart, God will find someone else. So I say, why not you? Help us shape the future of where God leads us as you share the gold within you with us. And I appreciate you all sharing the gold that you have been given. Let's pray. Father, what a blessing it is to be able to share with people the joys of creation, the joys of being put into a kingdom that is upside down from the world, that doesn't go as the culture would go. But it thrives on unity. It thrives on diversity. It grows through the talents and the gifts, no matter big or small, that you've given each person. All three of those men, all you were asking them to do was just use what I've given you. Use what I've given you to multiply. I thank you for these people. I thank you for this time together. I thank you that you are Lord God above, and that you provided us a gift of salvation through your Son, Jesus. The power of the Holy Spirit, we lift all these words to you. In Jesus' name, amen.